Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, John. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You're on the air now, and let me just introduce you. How do you pronounce your name? Kiriakou? Kiriakou?
Kiriakou. Kiriakou.
Kiriakou. I'm sorry. Okay, John Kiriakou used to be a CIA agent, and he was offered a plea deal. It took 30 months. And now he's out, and he's writing for Sputnik and different venues. He's been on lots of different shows, major media. And so that's who we're going to be talking to today. And John, what are you up to now?
Well, I've got a daily radio show at Sputnik here in Washington. And I've got columns in both Consortium News and Reader Supported News. And then I do a lot of commentary on TV, as you mentioned, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox. I try to get out and about as much as I can.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Keeps you busy anyway. You said you just got back from Greece?
Yeah, I was in Greece last week. It was my fifth trip this year to Greece. The Greek government hired me to help them write a new whistleblower protection law. And so we've got it finished, and it just passed into law.
Oh, cool. Let me ask you a question. This has been on my mind. I've been watching your interviews on all these different channels. And, you know, I know that the McCain-Feingold Act came out and prohibited torture. And you know, the United States kind of admitted it was involved in torture. Have you been exonerated?
Oh, I believe I have been exonerated.
No, I'm talking legally exonerated.
Oh, no. The only thing that would do that would be a presidential pardon. And I'm hopeful. I'm actually more hopeful under Donald Trump than I was under Barack Obama. But when I got out of prison, John McCain said in an interview that that I had done a national service because without my revelations, the American people just would not have known that that our government was torturing its prisoners.
Yeah, I saw that. I can't believe they haven't exonerated you already, although it was under Barack Obama's administration that you got charged, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the Bush administration investigated me and found that I had not committed a crime. And then when Obama became president, the Justice Department reopened the case against me. And it was the Obama administration that charged me with five felonies.
Yeah, that's a shame. You know, people think Barack Obama was a great liberal, but meanwhile, he threw more journalists in jail than Trump has. You know, he wasn't the great liberal that everybody thought he was. He wasn't the left-leaning progressive that people believed he was.
Absolutely not.
Now, I wrote one time in an article that he said he didn't take campaign donations. I wrote in an article that he did take campaign donations and he was a liar. And I got banned off of every Democratic website, you know, that I was writing for.
You know, I believe that. Because that's how the Obama people work.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, what was funny is I was the only website on his campaign page. So I don't know. Anyway, so what are you up to now? You're writing for Sputnik or you're on the air in Sputnik?
No, I'm on the air in Sputnik. I have a daily 2-hour show called Loud and Clear. My co-host is Brian Becker. It's a news show, and it's broadcast here in Washington from 4 to 6 on 105.5 FM and 1390 AM. And then in the evening, it goes on to 12 community radio and NPR stations around the country. And then at night, it becomes a podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Spotify.
Oh, good. So this is going to go to podcast too. So if it doesn't, you don't see a lot of listeners listen. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it'll go on podcast. More people podcast this and listen to it. So that's
right.
A good thing anyway. So anyway, so Jack, does Sputnik censor you?
Not in any way. In fact,
yeah, that's what a lot of people smart to say.
No, not at all. When they offered me this position, I was reluctant to take it. And I said, if I take this job, I would insist on complete freedom to say anything I want. They said, no problem. I said, I want to criticize anyone I want, including Vladimir Putin. They said, done. And I asked if they would be willing to put it in writing. They said, yes. And they put it in my contract. And I gladly signed it. And they have never asked me to say something or to not say something. I have complete freedom.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, they haven't put it on the list like they did with RT, but right?
Oh, no, they did. They did.
Yeah.
About 2 months after they put RT on the list.
Yeah. Well, you know. I don't know. So, what do you think of the Trump administration and all the hoopla that's going on with the mainstream media?
Well, I'm no fan of Donald Trump, but having been prosecuted by Obama, it makes me feel that, for me personally, anybody would be better than Obama. Anybody. It was Obama who ruined my life. Now,
yeah,
a lot of Trump's policies are utterly insane. I disagree with him on 90% of his policies, but on some things, the guy's just plain right. You know?
Yeah.
And after seeing the way Obama was the enemy of transparency, anybody would be better.
Yeah, I agree with you. When Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump, I couldn't vote for either one of them. I voted for Jill Stein, even though I knew she wasn't going to win. I just couldn't bring myself to vote for either one of them.
Well, I voted for Gary Johnson. And you know that the old saying that in our system you have to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, the lesser of two evils is still evil. So I went third party.
Yes, that's the way I feel, too. The lesser of two evils is still evil. And the way our government's going now and the way the mainstream media, the way I think of the mainstream media is they come up with all this Trump bashing, and not that I'm a fan of Trump either, but they come up with all this Trump bashing, and they keep our eye away from the things that really matter.
That's right. That's right. It's policies, and it's freedoms, and transparency, and civil liberties. That's what matters.
Yeah, yeah, that and climate change and a million other things.
Mm-hmm.
You spent time in Afghanistan. Not Afghanistan. Afghanistan. And you spent time in Pakistan.
Pakistan. Did
Pakistan cooperate with the CIA?
Very closely. We had a very warm, very close relationship with the Pakistani intelligence service. They were really great.
That's amazing because I've always heard the Pakistan was stabbing us in the back. But like I said, I don't believe in anything that I hear. Yeah.
Well, it's a complicated issue. The guys who I was working with were all educated in the U.S. or the U.K. They were counterterrorism professionals, really, truly great guys, who would lay down their lives for us. On the other hand, there were other members of the Pakistani intelligence service who created the Taliban, who were arming the Kashmiri separatists, who were allied with Al-Qaeda. So, you know, you had to be careful because you could only trust yourself. But all in all, the people that I worked with were great.
Yeah. You know, I saw on a TEDx speech that you gave that being on in the CIA was the most very exciting. I can imagine it was.
Every minute of it was exciting. You know, as bad as the CIA turned out to be for me, I missed the work every day. It was so exciting and so rewarding, and I got to see the world. I got to do and see things that I otherwise never could have even imagined. It was really great.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I was in the Army for 20 years, and I enjoyed it, but now I wouldn't join the Army on a bet, you know.
Right.
Especially for the kids that are listening out there. You know, you never know where you're going to get sent and what corporation you're going to be fighting for.
Exactly, right. Yep.
Right. Anyway, I have a question from Finian Cunningham, who writes for Sputnik 2. And he said about this Khashoggi, did the tapes that leaked out from the Turkish government, is that going to influence the United States or not?
It should, but it probably won't. You know, what was fascinating to me about the audio and video that leaked out was, in the beginning, the Turkish authorities said that it was a result an Apple Watch that Khashoggi was wearing. That was ridiculous. And I said so as soon as they said that it was this Apple Watch. They finally admitted that they had the Saudi consulate wired for audio and video. And that's how they got the audio and video. They had the place wired. So that was a pretty serious revelation. And that told me that the Turks were deadly serious about this. Now, the Saudis said today that they were going to execute five people. They're going to behead five people who were involved in the killing. We all know that it was the Crown Prince that ordered that killing. And so, what's he going to do? He's going to behead himself? He's going to pick these five guys as fall guys? And there's never going to be justice in this case.
That's a shame. You do your job for somebody, and next thing you know, the same person is going to execute you.
Yeah. That's right.
That's just about what happened to you, really.
For the most part, yeah. It kind of was.
Yeah. And so what do you think about this thing in Yemen? Do you think it's a war crime that we're involved in?
I do, and I'll tell you why. There are only three ways in which you can conduct war against another country legally. And that is at the invitation of the internationally recognized government, if you are attacked by that country, and with the permission of the United Nations Security Council. So for us to just send troops or send tankers to refuel the Saudi and Emirati jets or special forces or whatever, that's just plain illegal. It's a violation of international law. And in the meantime, we're the ones providing the Saudis and the Emiratis with the rockets and the missiles and the drones and the bullets and all this other stuff that they're using to slaughter civilians. So, yeah, this is a war crime in several different ways.
It's the same thing with Syria. We got troops in Syria. We've never had authorization from Congress. We don't have a UN mandate. We've got nothing, but we've got 2,000 troops in Syria.
That's it. We are illegally in Syria, correct?
And you know, I blame the American people for letting them get away with this. Yeah,
I agree with you. I agree. We should have voted.
I blame
the oversight committees. The oversight committees have turned out to be no more than cheerleaders for the executive branch. They're not overseers. They're just cheerleaders. They let them get away with anything, including murder.
Right. It's the same thing with MSNBC and CNN and Fox. They're all cheerleaders for war. They'll fight with each other, but not when it comes to funding the military or war. You know, You know, that's why I say we're in dire straits right here. And with Trump trying to muzzle the media, I mean, that's the same thing that Hitler did when he took power, you know, back in, what, was it 37 or 33 or whatever it was, when he tried to muzzle the media, and then he singled out minorities for persecution.
Absolutely. 1933 was the beginning of the end.
Right. And you know, I wrote an article one time where we're the good Germans. This was under Obama. We were doing the same thing with him. But, you know, the press loves to pick on Trump, and it gets him ratings. So, you know, he'll never get off the front page.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
And I get a little sick of seeing it. My wife likes to sit there and see. I call it Trump bashing. She just loves to watch that. I don't know. So, anyway, I wish they would, you know, this when the new Congress takes over and they have the oversight of the Intelligence Committee, I hope they do something with them, man, and kind of rein them in.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath to tell you the honest to God's truth. You know, you got these guys who have jumped onto the side of the intelligence community just because they perceive the intelligence community as being anti-Trump. You can be anti-Trump and still be anti-CIA or anti-FBI. I don't know why you have to pick a side. It doesn't make any sense to me. You can have a situation where there's no good guy, and I think this is one of those situations.
Well, I don't think there's been any good guys in the government for a long time. I mean, all the senators are millionaires, and if the congressmen aren't millionaires, they still will be. So, you know, I think the biggest problem with this country is the military-industrial complex.
I agree. We're deep in a hole because of this.
Yeah, it's a big jobs program, and it also makes money, and we've spent our tax dollars to give weapons all over the world. And then we complain that everybody's using them. So it's a pretty dastardly situation. And, you know, and people are frustrated because they don't feel that they can do anything about it.
Well, a lot of Americans really feel hamstrung by this system we have. We've got a duopoly. We have two parties that just trade power back and forth. And I contend that there's really very little difference between our two parties. They're not responsive to the voters. They pretend to be, but they're really not. And in the end, nothing ever changes.
Yeah, I am so totally against this two-party system. And I had somebody say to me, why don't Americans start a third party? And I told him, I said, you know, we're getting near the end of the road here, and we really don't have time to develop a third party. I mean, because of the fact that between global warming and all these wars and, these, you know, the confrontation with China and Russia and all that, we might not have time to have a third party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I went to vote. And I for the first time in my life, I voted straight Democrat, just in opposition to Trump. And the amount of people at that polling station, I live in South Carolina, so you know who they were voting for. But the amount of people at that polling station was unbelievable. That was the biggest turnout in any midterm election in history. And still, hardly anything changed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree.
And these corporate Democrats, they're just as bad as the Republicans.
Especially on issues like foreign policy. There's really no difference at all between the two parties on foreign policy.
I even heard Bernie Sanders say we have to get rid of this dictator in Syria. I mean, he should know better. You know, he should know better. And when I went to a Bernie Sanders rally one time, and there was a guy who wrote a book on Bernie Sanders leading the rally. And I said to the guy, I said, what about the military budget? We spend 55% of our discretionary budget on the military. And he would not answer my questions. So, you know, that's
not unusual. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's not unusual. You know, like Hillary Clinton, for example. Hillary Clinton's supposed to be the standard bearer of the Democratic Party in 2016. After having been a U.S. Senator and Secretary of State, she's the one that led the invasion of Libya, which was illegal. And to tell you the truth, we were actually working very well behind the scenes with Gaddafi in counterterrorism, because Al-Qaeda hated Gaddafi as much as they hated us. But then Hillary Clinton spearheads this invasion of Libya. And then when Gaddafi is lynched in the streets, she says, "We came, we saw, he died." And then
and she
said,
went.
That was an easy little operation, wasn't it? And it's not. It's a war crime. You just can't do things like that. But because we're the winners, we don't send people to the dock to face crimes against humanity or war crimes.
Well, now it's a failed state, and they have slave markets right inside Libya, and pirates running off the coast, and you know, and they have warlords in Libya running things. So, you know, we didn't do any good there. And you don't hear the mainstream media talking about it.
No, never. Never.
No, you know, I'm a little bit disgusted with I'm a little disgusted with the government. I've written over 700 articles, but it seems like, you know, it falls on deaf ears. You know, the only people that are reading your writing are people who already agree with you. And there's no way that any conservative website or any Republican website will pick it up. It makes me feel like I'm preaching to the choir.
That's one of the unfortunate things. I find myself in the same position where I write constantly. I've written 3 books. I'm working on my 4th right now. And I've got 2 regular columns. But the people who read my work are the people who already agree with me. And that doesn't help anybody.
And no, I know. I understand what you're saying. That's why I don't write very much, unless I have something original to say, and then it still falls on deaf ears. So, you know, it's very frustrating. So,
indeed.
When you were in the CIA, what was the most interesting place you ever got stationed?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say Athens.
Athens?
I would say Athens, because there was so much happening there. There were Arab terrorist groups. There were domestic Greek terrorist groups. We had Carlos the Jackal. We had Abu Nidal. We had the Libyans, the Palestinians. It was really fascinating. There was always something going on.
Yeah, I watched that guy who was the finance minister on a lot of different shows. He's a really intelligent guy. The one who went up against the IMF?
Yeah, Yanis Varoufakis. I had lunch with him on Thursday.
I can't pronounce his name, but he's a very intelligent guy, and he opened my eyes to a lot of stuff about the IMF and the EU Council, you know, the bankers there, and he's a really fascinating guy. I'd like to have him on my show sometime, but,
he's great.
I don't know how to get in touch with him, you know, writing for, you say you're writing a new book. What's the name of the book?
Oh, I haven't named it yet, but we'll get there.
Oh, that's cool. I'll be looking forward to it. You know, I want to read some of your other books, and, you know, I'm sure my listeners would want to read some of your other books. What's the name of them?
Well, the first one was called The Reluctant Spy: My Secret Life and the CIA's War on Terror. And that one did well. It made number 5 on the New York Times bestsellers list. The second one was called Doing Time Like a Spy: How the CIA Taught Me to Survive and Thrive in Prison. And the third was called The Convenient Terrorist: Abu Zubaydah and the Weird Wonderland of America's Secret Secret Wars.
Oh, wow. I want to read them, too. Maybe we'll have you on the show again after I read them. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Do you have a little bit more time?
Actually, my kids are going to be home in 5 minutes. I was hoping to wrap it up before they walk through the door and get really loud.
Okay, we can wrap it up here. I think we've gotten some interesting things from it. And would you be willing to come on again sometime?
Sure, why not?
Okay, that'd be great. And, I just want to say, I just started a radio station again. And I had 4 strokes, so that got me off the radio station for a while. But I'm back on, and I'd like to have you again.
Well, my pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Now, good to talk to you. Thank you very much, John. You go get
anytime. Care. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was John
Kiriakou.
And, that was very interesting what he had to say. That guy spent 3 years in prison for telling the truth. And that's a shame. And if Donald Trump or any of his people are listening, they should pardon that guy. I'm surprised he hasn't had a lawsuit against them. But anyway, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 516-453-9450. That's 516-453-9450. If anybody wants to call in and talk about what John had to say. And I really appreciate him coming on the show. And if there's anybody that, has written anything or, has any kind of public profile and or has some definite ideas about, what's going on, just give me an email at timgatto1@hotmail.com. And let me know if you think you want to come on the show. So next Saturday, I'm going to have Finian Cunningham, who writes for RT and Sputnik and Press TV and Global Research and a whole bunch of other different places. I'm going to have him
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'm going to have him on the show, and we're going to tape that show because he's in East Africa. And his internet connection is not too good. And so I have to tape it on Skype. And hopefully, we'll hear from Finian. And I'm sure a lot of people, know Finian Cunningham. And he's been on the show before. So we always have something good to say, believe me. An hour and a half goes by like 5 minutes. So that's the way I feel about it anyway. So anyway, I'm glad that you're going to listen to this. You can always podcast it. You can go to my site, at WordPress.com. That's Tim Gatto online at WordPress.com. You can listen to my podcast, and any articles I write, I always throw up there. So you can go there. It's Tim Gatto online at WordPress.com. That's my new website. And so, if you want to hear any podcasts that I've had, you can go there. And meanwhile, I write on Op-Ed News, Media with a Conscience, and a few other websites, and you can read my stuff on there. And let's hope when John finishes his new book that we can sit down with him and talk to him about the new book, and that'll be interesting. This guy's had a fascinating career, and he really got, you know, he's just so loyal, faithful American. But I don't know how I'd be after they threw me in jail for 30 months for telling the truth. You know, and that's what's wrong with this country is the people need to rise up and tell the government that you can't do this anymore. You know, so anyway, I'm going to leave you with my little intro, and then I'm gonna hang up because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think too many people are gonna be listening to this show. So you can always podcast it. So thanks for joining me, and I hope you podcast this and send it to your friends. All right, and you can also catch me on YouTube at just type in Tim Gatto at YouTube. And you can see some of the YouTube video casts I've done. All right, so thanks for being here.
With a noise in your hand, with a voice when the balls say no.